Good morning, church. If you have a copy of God's Word this morning, I'd ask you to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 12. I'll say this before we get started. In those last two songs, I'll say if you didn't feel the Spirit of God, then your wood's wet. Because sitting back there listening to the song, stand in your love and leave it all behind and come to the well, I believe that everything that's already needed to be said has been said. You just leave it all behind and come to the well. This morning we're going to be in Hebrews chapter number 12, and we will start in verse 1 and 2. And if you're able and willing, I'd ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word. This morning I've got one question for you, just one simple question, and that is, who are you looking at? Who are you looking at in the world that you go through week in and week out, day in, day out? Who are you or what are you looking at? There's a lot of things that can get our mind off Jesus, but that ain't what we're called to do. We're called to look always to Jesus Christ. And that's what these verses are going to say in Hebrews chapter number 12. Starting in verse 1, the Bible says this: Wherefore, seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Lord God, this is a different setting, a different place, God, but you are the same. And I'm thankful this morning that you're here. God, we've already felt you through the songs, and I pray, God, that we feel you like never before right now. Lord, I pray that we just not look to the world for the help that we need. God, I pray we don't look to the outside. God, we look straight to heaven. And I pray, Lord, that whatever's going on in these people's life and in my life, God, I pray, Lord, I won't look to the outside world. God, I'll look straight to you. And I pray this morning, God, you would bless this time. I pray that we would lay all these things down, God, and we would come straight to your will. God, I love you and I thank you. I pray for safety. And, Lord, you hold back that weather just a few more moments as we sit down and worship with you. We love you, Lord. We thank you for the cross of Calvary. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said, you may be seated. This morning, one question is, who are you looking at? When you go to work tomorrow, church, there's a lot of things that are going to try to get your attention. There's a lot of things that you're trying to put your focus on and what you do. Or if you're going back to school tomorrow, there's a lot of people and there's a lot of kids and there's a lot of teachers that are trying to get your attention, trying to teach you something. I'm not saying none of that is bad. What I'm saying is don't lose sight of Jesus Christ. Because even in that work, even in that school, even though we're listening to our supervisor, even though we're listening to the people above us, we're called to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And that's what the Scripture is telling us, to look straight to Jesus Christ. We're called to look to Jesus. And I'll give you just a little bit of an example of that. Friday night, we went to the Selligent football game, and Selligent got down, and they started losing. And what I saw, church, and this is not just Selligent, it's every football team, is when they start losing, they start getting fatigued, they start going down there, they'll put their hands on their knees. They'll hang their head. Ain't that how we do sometimes in our Christian walk? Hey, we'll hang our head, we'll get down because the things that are going on in our life, the storms that are raging, hey, we'll get down on our knees and we'll start feeling sorry for ourselves and we'll start doing things that the Lord has not called us to do. But this morning, I'm telling you, the Lord is telling you to pick your head up and look straight to Jesus Christ. He is the man. He is the man that we need to look to. And even when we're feeling bad, church, our eyes are supposed to be straight on Him. And that's what He's telling us this morning in these two scriptures in Hebrews 12, that we have examples, and through these things, and we'll look back in chapter 11 in just a moment, but there's just three things I want to talk about this morning when we look to Jesus. Number one, we see in the chapter right behind it, chapter 11, or the chapter before it, it says, there are examples of heroes that were before us. In your Word of God, church, the thing that you're holding in your hand this morning, just one scripture doesn't get it all done. It's a collective thing. If you look straight at the New Testament, you've missed the Old Testament. If you look straight at the Old Testament, you look at the things that please you and you don't look at the things that convict you, you've missed something. And church, I'm telling you this morning, we have examples in this scripture of how to live our life. There are people that came before us, and it's written down in this Word, that have fought the fight, they have won the race, they have done things that we're called to do. And chapter 11 of Hebrews explains that, and I want to give you an example. Hebrews chapter 11, it shows men and women who ran for Jesus. A few examples of that is Noah, Abraham, Moses, and you can flip back and look at it, Rahab, and there's David, and there's a few more other people that have run the race that we're called to run right now. There's people behind us, and there's people before us, and I want to kind of give you a question to think about. We see the people in chapter 11, and I challenge you to go read it, and we'll look more deep in it in just a moment. But just as there's people behind you that have, we have examples, I'm asking you this morning, are there people looking at you right now in the world you're living in? Can people look at you and say that's a Jesus follower? Can people look to you and say that man's looking straight at God? Can people look at you and say that woman's looking straight at God Almighty? Because church, we're called to be an example to the people that are looking at us. We're called to fight the good fight. We're called to be people who run the race for Jesus. So the people behind us, the people who are looking at our life, man, they're looking at Jesus too. That's what we're called to do when we have the examples of people. These heroes in chapter 11, they had faith. They had faith. Chapter 11, if you'll turn back, we'll start in verse 3. It says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That shows me this morning, church, that the people that we look at in Scripture, they are an example because they live by faith. These people in Scripture, when you go look back at Noah, you go look back at David, you go look back at people who have already run the race, they didn't see Jesus either in the present. They couldn't walk with Him. When you look at Noah, man, he had to live out by faith. When you look at Moses, he had to live out by what God has told him to do. And church, I want to, just a news flash, hey, God's not standing right here in front of me. Hey, you can't look at Him physically, but He's right here in this heart. I'm asking you this morning, is Jesus Christ in your heart this morning? Because we're called to be an example that people who look at us. These heroes that we look at have faith. We're called to have faith. Because these heroes sought after God. They had faith. They also had favor upon their lives. Chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. What that's telling me this morning, church, is there's a way to get favor upon your life. I don't know what you're going through this morning, and you don't know what I'm going through this morning, but I know that if we'll seek God diligently, we'll have favor upon our lives. I'm not saying every time and walking by faith and doing all this, hey, that's just part of the race, but if you don't seek God every single day, if you don't open your Word, if you don't pray, if you don't do the things that God has spoken in His Scripture, then you won't have favor upon your life. That's what the verse has to say in verse number 6. And we see that the heroes behind us, they had that favor. And that's why they did things that are great. That's why they did things that are rememberable. That's why they did things that are recorded in this Bible. And that's what we see that we're called to do. We're supposed to have faith. And we're supposed to have favor upon our lives because we're supposed to seek God. We have faith. We have favor. But I want to give you, and I just want to slow down for just a minute. When you accept Jesus Christ in your heart, verse number 25 of chapter 11 tells us that We now have a family in Jesus Christ. You have faith, you have favor, but you have a family this morning, church. This people, the body of believers that are with you, the people that have already accepted Jesus, they're your family. They're your brothers and sisters. They're blood bought, born again, just like you and me are. And that's what we see in verse 25. It says, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. We have family, and as a child of God, let me tell you something this morning, church, newsflash. What you're going through right now, you're not alone in this walk. You're not alone. You don't have to live the Christian life by yourself. I know one thing, if the person beside you, if the people you walk through life with, if they've left you, I know one man who's never left you nor forsaken you. And that's what we're saying, and that's what we're going. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, there shall not be any man able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, this is God speaking, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And I will not fail thee, and I will not forsake thee. That's what God's speaking to you this morning. He's saying, hey, just because you have faith and you have favor, you got a family as well, church. Don't forget those folks who are walking that faith, who are doing things that God's called you to do as well. Don't forget about those people who live it with you. They're going through a battle just as much as you are. And I promise you one thing, they need help as well. Those folks who live out for Jesus, they need help as well. You pray for that man. You pray for that woman. You pray for that brother and sister. You uplift them in the name of Jesus, and you show them that they're not alone. We have family in Jesus Christ. We have favor. We have faith. But I see one other thing that these heroes had and that you have this morning. We've got faith and favor and family, but you got a father this morning. Church, let me tell you something. You've got a God who stays. You've got a God who will never fail thee. He won't forsake thee. He won't leave you. He's going to be with you because He is your Father. He's the Alpha and Omega. He's everything to me. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. And I promise you one thing this morning. If you're suffering, man, if you're afflicted, if you're like these scriptures say, hey, you're battling something, I promise you God will never leave you. You can cling on to that this morning. That you've got people with you and you've got a God who's with you all the time. John 14:6 said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no man comes by the Father but through me. Church, you seek God, and I promise your life will be a lot easier. We see this morning that there are examples of heroes in this scripture that have went before us, and now we're called to do what they've done. But I want to show you something else. And back in chapter number 12, verse number 1, we have examples, but we also need endurance while winning the race. I want y'all to turn around and look at that man in the bike back here on the road. Y'all look at that. There's a man back here on the road. Man, if that ain't God right there, I'll tell you what. That man right there has got to have endurance while he's on that bicycle. That man's got to keep pedaling and keep pedaling when it gets rough and it gets tough. And church, I'm telling you this morning, when you're pedaling for Jesus, it's going to get rough. It's going to get tough. But you keep pedaling because God's called you to. You keep pedaling because Jesus Christ is worth it. He's worth it all. You suffer through affliction for Jesus because that's what He's called you to do. And He's called us to have endurance through the race that we're reading. Or that we're living. Verse number 1 of chapter 12 says, wherefore seeing we are also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Child of God, let me tell you this morning. If Jesus Christ is in your heart, you have an obligation to Him. And I know one thing, that through endurance of through that man that God just sent right through here on the bicycle, God sent you this place right now. There's a reason you're here, church. You may need endurance while you're running the race for Jesus. And I want to give you some things that'll help you out. And that when I read that the Lord spoke to me, man, it helped me out when I'm trying to run this race. And this is in these scriptures back in verse 1. While you're running the race, I challenge you to look forward to Jesus. Verse 1, it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Verse number 2, looking unto Jesus. Church, if you don't get nothing else this morning, you look to Jesus. Man, your questions will get answered. You get in God's Word, the things that you didn't understand at one time, you'll now understand because you're seeking Him. And I'm telling you that if you're tired and you're weak and you're worn, you may need a little more endurance. And that's one thing we must do is look forward to Jesus. Because let me tell you, church, when you accept Jesus, your life is not behind you. Man, that sin, that filth, that dirtiness that I used to live through when I was lost, dying, and going to hell, I don't do that no more. When you accept Jesus, hey, I'm not telling you it's the easiest road. I'm telling you it's the best road. You need endurance to get through the race with Jesus. And when you accept Him into your life and when you start living for Him, your life's in front of you. The things that are old and passed away, hey, they're gone. You're not called to do that no more, church. I'm not called to live the way I used to live because Jesus is in front. We must look forward to Jesus. And I want to give you something that yesterday's mistakes don't define you. Yesterday's things that you have done and you regret, hey, that don't define you no more. It's gone. It's past. It's already happened. There ain't nothing you can do about it. You look forward to Jesus Christ. You look forward to Jesus. We must have that endurance. We must look to Jesus. But verse 2 tells us something else. We must also look for the joy that's in our lives. Verse 2 says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. I'm going to give you another news flash this morning, church. When you accept Him into your heart, there's ought to be joy in your life. Let me say that again. The joy that's in your life, hey, there's happiness in sin. I'm going to give you that. It's fun for a season. But happiness ain't the same thing as joy. And you know that and I know that. Happiness is temporary. It's things that won't last. But when you accept Jesus, when you start living for Him, church, you've got joy beyond all measure. It's not going to leave. Verse 2 says that when Jesus was on the cross, hey, He was looking at joy. He endured that cross for me and you, and now we're called to live in joy. We're called to live in Jesus. And I want to challenge you this morning, if you don't have joy in your life, then you must get in that Word of God. When I start skipping out on Jesus and days when I don't read His Word, you know what happens on those days, man? I'm miserable. You know what happens when I don't wake up and start praying to God? I'm miserable. Church, this morning, if you're miserable and you're a blood-bought, born-again believer, you're not called to stay that way. You're called to look to Jesus. You're called to look to the joy that's in Him because there is joy in Jesus. He's the beginning. He's the ending. And at the end of this life, church, you're going to stand just like I am in front of God Almighty. And the things that you've done on this side of earth, you're going to be called accountable, just like me. I'm asking you, church, this morning, what are you doing with Jesus Christ? Are you looking at the world? Are you looking at the things that are pleasurable for a season? We're called to look straight at heaven. We're called to have that example in front of us. We're called to have that endurance that God has blessed us with in these scriptures. But the last thing this morning is I want to show you that we must have the examples. We must be an example. We must have endurance. But church, we know the ending to the book. We know the ending to the race. And verse 2 talks about it. Let's get in. Verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Church, this morning, let me tell you something. And I know you already know it, but let me refresh you. God has won the war. The things that you have to live through are temporary because Jesus Christ is at the end of your race. You don't have to look sideways. You don't have to look behind you. You don't have to look at the things of this world. You're not called to do that, and you're not supposed to do that because Jesus, like I said, is in front of you, and He's at the end of your life, just like He's at the end of mine. When we look at these scriptures, and God has placed these here for a reason, I want to give you that Jesus Christ, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, with that being said, He better be your everything. He does not... I don't know what else to say. He better be. He's the ending. He better be in your life right now. Jesus Christ, we see at the end of our lives, we see in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Church, this morning, there's a few things we must remember. Number one, Jesus died for you. If you've forgotten that, oh, you've missed something out, church. Jesus Christ has died for you individually, just like He died for me. Not only that, He has been where you are. He died for you, but He's been where you're at, and I'll give you an example. Let's go to Hebrews chapter number 4, if you will. Just a few chapters back, and I'm trying to get prove a point that Jesus has been where you are. Chapter 4, verse number 15, it says, "For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Jesus has been where you're at. Church, He's at the end of this race, but He better be in your heart too. He's walked with you. He's going to talk with you. He's been where you are. He died for you. And I just want to leave you with this morning. That Jesus Christ has got everything under control. Man, there's a lot going on in the world that you and I live in, church. There's chaos. There's violence. There's sickness. There's things that are not going to be in heaven, by the way. You may not know that. But this life brings things that are rough and they're tough. But at the end of the day, Jesus has you under control. And I want to give you Matthew 11, 28 says, "Come unto me all that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And this morning, church, I don't know where you stand right now. I don't know if you're saved or lost. That's not my job to figure out. That's your job to figure out. That ain't your parents. That ain't your kids, that ain't your brother, sister, that ain't nobody but you. And I don't know who you're looking at this morning, church. I don't know if you're looking at the world. I don't know if you're looking at the school. I don't know if you're looking at the chaos that's going on. I don't know. But I know who you're supposed to be looking at, and I know who I'm supposed to be looking at, and His name's Jesus Christ. And church, the things that you must remember is you have an example in this book. You have people that have already done the things that you're going through right now, and probably a lot more worse. Get in the Word and seek what's going on that God has given you. I want you to get in this Word and start asking yourself, what am I going through that's already been written down? Because there's something in here that's going to affect you. We must get in His Word. The second thing we must do is we must accept and give and push and have the endurance that God's called us to have. And the last thing you must remember, church, is God has the end. I don't know. I don't know anything in your life, and you don't know nothing going on in mine. But Jesus Christ is here this morning. Church, if you ain't felt Jesus Christ through the worship, through the preaching, and I know you're about to feel Him in this altar call, I know one thing, that Jesus is standing here this morning waiting on you. He always has. He always will. And I'm going to leave you with this, church, and we'll pray. Who are you looking at? Is it somebody else, or is it Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day and the weather and the peace and the joy that surpasses all understanding. God, we thank you that you are still in control. God, there ain't nothing that has caught you by surprise. And I pray this morning that you would speak to the people in this congregation, thanking you that you've given us the opportunity to be here, and thanking you that you're still in control. Lord, I love you and I thank you. I pray you be with us right here at this invitation. God, I pray you'd speak like never before. We love you, God. We thank you. And it's all in Jesus' name. Amen.